Hey everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Golf Mostly. It's the US Women's Open preview pod presented by PGA Tour Superstore. We are pumped to be here at Pebble Beach. I am sitting right now at The Hay, a beautiful par 3 course designed by Tiger. Some really cool stuff's actually gonna go on down here during the week. We've got a celebration of past champions and all kinds of fun stuff. I'm actually gonna do some Golf Channel stuff for that later in the week. I'm sure you're wondering, why haven't I heard the voice of Michelle Wee West? Well, it's because she is busy preparing for her final U.S. Women's Open, her final tournament, actually. So we'll give her a pass that she's skipping this one, but we're so excited for her to be playing at this iconic venue for her final time, teeing it up professionally. It's pretty cool. So I'm going at it solo, but we got a lot of really cool people that are going to stop by. Let me give you some background on Pebble Beach and the events that they've hosted, really. I mean, they've been hosting USGA events since 1928. They had a US AM here. They had the US Women's AM in 1940, in 1948. They've hosted 6 US Opens and a PGA Championship, and this will be their first US Women's Open, you guys. But listen, it's not one and done. So we gotta give a big shout out to Pebble Beach Company for committing to the women's game, and not just this year, but moving forward. They're actually gonna be hosting 4 US Women's Opens and 4 US Opens in the next 25 years. So this has become anchor site, I think it is. I thought I was gonna say flagship site, but I think it's anchor sites for the USGA. And we're actually gonna talk to, drumroll please, producer Chris. Thank you. We're gonna talk to Mike Wan, the CEO of the USGA, and he was actually the commissioner of the LPGA not so long ago at all, and he just, unprecedented growth, you'll hear me say that a little bit later in the interview with him, unprecedented growth for the women's game when he was in charge, and the new commission is doing fabulous things as well, but it'll be really cool to talk to Mike about his time at the LPGA, what his hopes are for women's golf, and just all the incredible things that he is continuing to do for women's golf in the position that he's in now. Another really cool thing this week, producer Chris just let me know this at lunch earlier. This is the first time ShotLink has been used at a women's event. If you're not familiar with ShotLink, it is, how would I don't even know how I'm going to describe ShotLink. It's like the most high, I mean, sure, they've done stats on the LPGA Tour, but ShotLink is like stats on steroids, you guys. Like, it is so specific with how close to the hole players are hitting it and how long they're hitting it and how many greens. And Chris, do you know if they're doing strokes gained? They're doing strokes gained. That's so cool. And strokes gained, I'm not even going to try to explain strokes gained. I really should have come with a better explanation of this before I attempted to talk about ShotLink. But anyways, just know that it's really, really incredible technology that the men have week in and week out. So it's really exciting that the women are going to be having it for this event. Let's see, what else can I talk about with Pebble Beach? My first time being at Pebble Beach was the 2019 US Open. Gary Woodland won here, which was pretty cool. That was my first time being here. I remember, I think I was doing social for Golf Digest, and I woke up at like 4 in the morning because I was very intent on getting a time lapse, like a sunrise time lapse with the maintenance crew on the 18th green. And so it's like 40 degrees and I'm sitting in the stand shivering thinking, I'm like, gotta get the content. It's like weird sick like thing that I did. Like, made my, no one else is up, it's me sitting in a like thousand person grandstand just with a phone holding time lapse. But it turned out great. But anyways, so that was my first time here at Pebble Beach. I actually got to play Pebble for the first time just a couple months. Oh my gosh, I guess it's, well, no, Pure Insurance is in like 2 months. So almost a year ago now at the Pure Insurance, which is like the Pebble Beach Pro-Am for the Champions Tour. But it's actually nothing like that. Never mind. There's amateurs involved, and it's an amateur, 2 amateurs, and then you're paired with a team that has a Champions Tour player and a junior. So it is like that in the sense it's got pros and amateurs combined, but it's a different kind of team setup. And it was really fun. I got to play with Heidi Uberoth, who is probably one of the coolest women on the planet. She is one of the co-chairs of Pebble Beach. Her father, Peter Uberoth, was in charge of the Olympic Committee. So her and I bonded over I guess she, you know, she's going to the sports industry. She used to run global expansion for the NBA or something really incredible like that. And we just bonded over the fact of kind of both going into similar businesses of other as our fathers when we didn't want to, but here we are and ended up for the best. Anyways, that's a story for another day. But Heidi is super cool, and she is really at the forefront of so many incredible things going on this week. So big shout out to Heidi and everything she's doing for the women's game. She's a really great player herself, so super neat to see. And all the players are just so excited to be here as well. I mean, listen, Michelle played in Pine Needles last year, and then she's like, oh, wait a second, the next US Women's Open is at Pebble? Well, I'm going to make that my last event. So really, you know, her last event before this was the US Women's Open at Pine Needles, but she really, you know, felt like Pebble was such a special place and wanted this to be her swan song, if you will. And speaking of swan songs, Nike made a really, really cool shoe with Michelle to celebrate her swan song. I'm actually wearing them now. They are these Nike Jordans, and listen, I'm the first one to say I have really, really big feet, so I'm not really a Jordan gal. Like, they're just accentuate my boats of a feet that I have, but I will wear these because they are just so beautiful. Actually, I think big feet work to my advantage because they're like pieces of art, and I really just want to show them off. So you can see them here in the camera. See, they got a wave on it. They've got Aloha on the bottom. You can see that. Ooh, do some calisthenics here, some abs. And it's got a little ball marker on the toe, which is really cool. Anyway, so check that out. Michelle did a really great explanation on social media explaining all the little Easter eggs, she called them, of the shoe. There's all kinds of things. There's Just Do It in Korean on the back of the ball marker. It's got her daughter's initials on the tongue. It's just the coolest golf shoe ever. So definitely check it out and try to snag a pair if they aren't sold out in your size. So yeah, you guys, it's US Women's Open at Pebble Beach. Doesn't get better than this. We've got so many cool people stopping by to say hey and chat women's golf and Pebble. So let's get into it.
Well, listen, I know this podcast is making you hyped for the US Women's Open, and it's probably inspiring you to want to hit the course too. But before you do that, you gotta hit up the PGA Tour Superstore. It's golf's happy place, you guys. And that is not just a slogan. This place has everything. It's impossible to drive by one and not stop. I mean, I tell myself, I'm just gonna go look around, maybe grab some teas, maybe a couple ball markers, and it never ends with just one thing. It's like the equivalent of me going to Target when I say I'm just gonna need like some laundry detergent and I walk out with like way too much stuff. That is also me at PGA Tour Superstore. So they've got the widest selection of apparel and footwear for girls and dudes, the friendliest and most helpful associates, the best club fitters in the game. They really do have everything. So head over to PGA Tour Superstore. It's the place to go if you want to look and play your best golf.
Here with the USGA CEO, Mike Wan. Mike, thank you so much for coming to hang out with us. I know you have a very, very busy schedule this week.
Well, you guys make it really tough when we get to hang outside at the Hay. I mean, I'm coming to the Hay, whether or not. I'll be at that bar in the corner seat in a couple hours, whether you guys are filming or not filming, so this is all good.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a trek up this hill as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I was a pretty short breath. I was thinking, I need to get on an elliptical. But then when you get up here and you look back down, you think, okay, it was a climb.
It was worth
but
it.
But I probably still need an elliptical.
That's okay, me too. I'm going to get on the Peloton tonight. Mike, I want to ask you, I know I've heard you say Pebble Beach is your favorite place on the planet. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for this week to finally be here?
Oh, definitely a 10. It's, you know, I was here last year with Martin Slumbers. We were in a different event. And I said, welcome to America's Scotland. And he said, what do you mean? I said, this is our piece of land that God gave us that just carved incredible golf courses. I mean, not just Pebble Beach, but draw a line 10 miles around this place. And you're talking about the best golf courses on the planet, let alone the U.S. So, yeah, when I'm here, I mean, everybody here has got, you know, the bar is packed at the Hay, and we're overlooking a par 3 course. That says a lot about the game. The fact that places like the Hay and the Cradle and Top Golf and Pop Stroke are really kicking it the way they are says a lot about the game. People are enjoying this game in a lot of different ways. But if you're here, it's difficult not to really get giddy about what's about to happen.
It's so exciting. Can you tell us a little bit about the process? I mean, US Women's Open at Pebble Beach. How did this come to be? Like, the relationship between you, I know you've hosted a lot of USGA championships here, but having the women here, how did that come to be?
I'm glad you asked the question, because I'm not sure she would tell you if you asked her, but I'm going to say it, even if she wouldn't say it. When we asked Heidi to consider hosting a U.S. Open, she said, and I'm not sure if I get the quote exactly right, no, I don't want to host one, but I'll host four or five. And so, you know, for us, we got into, if we're going to come to Pebble and we're going to make Pebble an iconic place for the best women professional golfers in the world, let's commit to making it an iconic place. So we're going to be back here in 10 years and then 6 years after that and 6 years after that. So, yeah, this is not going to be one of those dreams that happens once and young girls can kind of cross it off their list of potentials. This is Pebble Beach is going to be part of the lore, part of the legacy, part of the history of women's professional golf. And it starts this year, but it by no means does it end this year. And that's thanks to Heidi and the whole team here that saw something bigger than a one-time shot.
I'm glad you mentioned Heidi. In my intro, I gave her a shout out. I got to play alongside Heidi in the Pure Insurance.
Nice.
And got to know her. And she's got a good game herself, that lady.
She's got a good brain and a good game. Two things I'm missing. If it wasn't for brain and game, I'd be really good. But, I just like being around her. She thinks big picture. She doesn't see boundaries. Her out-of-bounds stakes are so much farther out than what most of us see. And so when all in at the Hay tomorrow, when you start talking about raising money for girls' golf, I thought $250,000 would be unbelievable. She thought $1.5 million would be unbelievable. So as my father used to say, when you meet people that dream bigger than you, hang around them. And so we like to hang around her.
Amen. I like that. So U.S. Women's Open here at Pebble, but not only at Pebble. We've got Riviera coming up in a few years, Erin Hills, getting the women on the same stages as the men. How long has that been in the works for the USGA?
Yeah, probably 6 or 7 years. I mean, because we're pretty far out, as you know. But, last night during the past champions dinner, Fred Perpall, the head of our board, announced the next 11 years. And when you just sit there and listen to it, he said Marion and Oakmont and Pinehurst and Pebble and Chicago Golf Club and LACC and Inverness. And as he was reading that list, you thought to yourself, he could be reading the list for any men's major. But he was talking about the U.S. Women's Open. And so I think it was important for people to realize this isn't this one-off Pebble experience. Pebble might have knocked a bunch of doors down, but where we're going over the next 20 years is absolutely the best of the best. And I would love to just stop and say the venue alone has been a difference maker, but we're going to be on network TV on the East Coast from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock, both Saturday and Sunday, 12 hours of consecutive network NBC TV. That just doesn't happen in the women's game. I can tell you from my past, that doesn't happen. And so there's a lot of kind of barriers being knocked down this year that won't be about Thursday to Sunday. They'll be about Thursday to Sundays for the next 20 years.
That's really so you mentioned your past, former commissioner of the LPGA Tour, and when you were there, just unprecedented growth for the women's game. I'm curious, what are you most proud of from your time at the LPGA?
Partnerships, probably. Nothing we did at the LPGA came alone. So when I think about the PGA Women's KPMG, I remember going to KPMG with the PGA of America and positioning this new idea. I remember sitting down with Martin Slumbers and talking about what would happen if they took over the Women's British Open. I remember, talking to Jay Monahan about what would happen if they were to sell our TV rights as part of their overall U.S. TV package. When you start adding all those things up, just none of them happened on our own. There was always somebody else who took a little bit extra time, something that was never going to be part of their bonus plan, and lifted the women's game to a higher level. And I think today, the women's game is more integrated into the overall game than it's ever been. It's always sort of been over here. And since it wasn't legally connected into these entities and we didn't get a check from some men's organization, it was always easy to kind of forget about. But if I think back in my 12 years, I don't really remember lifting anything by myself. There was always somebody bigger and stronger than me, and I would just go to the podium and take credit for it, which I'm really good at. But it was really, it's really an exciting time because I think there's so many more people committed to lifting the women's game who, quite frankly, probably don't have that on their performance review.
Right. Well, now being at the USGA, you have so much on your plate, but you're still championing women's golf. And obviously, NBC is stepping up this week and so many other places. But what do you think still needs to happen? Like, where would you look to say, hey, we can do better in that area?
Yeah, this won't shock you, but every woman on this tour on the LPGA knows that every other woman that came here to this tour from another country came out of a country program. So they had this incredible support at a really young age. Lydia Ko was on Team New Zealand when she was 11, and Carlotta Segunda came out of Team Spain. And we've got a really great program in Mexico and Canada. They're all around us, by the way. Mm. All quality golfing countries have a country program except America. So when I got to the tour back in 2010, I realized every woman here came out of a country program where they taught them how to eat, how to stretch, how to get into a D1 school, how to work with a caddy, how to get your parents out of your face if that was a problem at that age. All things that young kid needs to learn to actually be able to compete at a high level. And in America, we just weren't teaching any of that. We weren't giving any parents a clear pathway to success, whether that success was coaching, playing, getting to college, getting to pro level. And so this year, starting in 2023, we're changing that. And we're going to build Team USA and a national development program that's going to be, as I said to the board when I took it to them, don't say yes to this unless you're in for 50 years. This is not a five-year initiative and tell us what you achieved. We're in for the next 50 years. We're going to build a $40 million grant program to make sure we can help any kid from any background in America that's got real talent and real desire. So there's no reason why America can't foster its best 500 or 1,000 youth that really have an aspiration to get here. And if we do that, in fairness to the rest of the world, they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Because our talent is strong. We just don't tend to nurture it. And that's what's really missing. And that's what I used to yell about that when I wasn't at the USGA. So when I got to the USGA, you couldn't look at the mirror and act like, you know, you get to change sport coats. I knew it was my job and I was excited to do it.
That's so great. Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, me growing up and playing junior golf, it's really expensive. It's coaching, it's facilities. So
right.
I think, and, you know, growing up, I saw, you know, the Canadians decked out with their golf bags. And we're like, what the heck? They got golf bags and tees.
You see it out here on the practice rounds today. And I mean, that's what's really kind of sad is that America today, if you're a really good 11-year-old, what you're told is you better chase the AGA dream. And so start flying to a different, you know, place every weekend. You're a tour player at age 12. You just don't know it. And that grinds people up, makes parents want to walk away. And so one of the things we're going to do is make sure that success can happen more locally, that you can win at the city level, win at the state level, win regionally, and then pursue AJGA, because AJGA is going to be there for you a long time. And so we want to make sure that success can happen at a local level. We also, I think you know this, but if you look at this game at age 12, diversity of golf at age 12 is really good.
Yeah.
And diversity of this game at age 20 is really crappy. We sort of lose them between 12 and 20 because it's pretty expensive to raise a competitive golfer, as you know.
Yeah.
So that's where this grant program comes in, to make sure that if you really have the talent and the desire, you don't go away from this game simply because you don't have the means. I mean,
right.
That's something that these other country programs take care of, and we never have. So it's an easy solve, I think.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Well, speaking of someone that had a lot of success at a young age, I mean, my podcast co-host, who's currently preparing for the U.S. Women's Open, she's one that, you know, she always talked about how it was really expensive for her to fly from Hawaii to the mainland.
Definitely.
So she always played a lot of tournaments in Hawaii. So that's really cool that you're putting that focus on, you know, more tournaments locally for kids. But can you talk about the first time you ever saw Michelle Wee hit a golf ball?
I don't remember the first time I saw her hit a golf ball, but I remember the first time I met her. So it was 2009. I had accepted the job as commissioner, but I asked if I could wait until January to start. I was moving three kids that were in junior high from Orange County, California to Florida. I mean, that was fairly dramatic in the household. So I asked for some time. But they asked me if I would go to a players meeting at the Tour Championship, which was in Houston at the time. So I walked in and kind of sat in the back, and nobody knew who I was. I was the only guy in the room. You know, it was 250 women and me. And I ended up sitting behind Suzanne Pedersen, Michelle Wee, and Catherine Kirk. Now, you probably know all three of those, but they're all 6'1 or 6'2, right? So when they introduced me, people clapped, and I stood up. And they stood up and turned around and looked at me. And I was looking up at all three of them, and I remember thinking, if this doesn't work out, I'm gonna form the greatest U.S. volleyball team we've ever seen. You know, so I mean, it just when you walk into the room of LPGA stars, you realize that these aren't just great golfers; they were all great athletes. Mm-hmm. They could have played a lot of things, and. I remember when we first went to Rio in the Olympics, I had a media person say to me, like the weekend before, do you think your players will fit in with the athletes in Rio? And I said, 100%. I mean, if Michelle Wee walks into a room, she could be a number one track star, she could be a basketball star, she could be volleyball, and she could be a golfer. And nobody will know, but they'll look at her and go, that's one of the best women's athletes in the world. And they'd be right. Mm-hmm. And so I just remember thinking how athletic that room was, and quite frankly, how much I needed to start working out if I was going to be their commissioner.
We're both getting on the elliptical after
this. Exactly.
It all goes back to elliptical. Well, Mike, I can't ask you for a pick this week because you're Mike Wan, but I can ask you, what would you like fans at home when they're tuning in this week to Pebble Beach, what do you hope they take away from watching the broadcast?
I hope they grab the history they have of this place. If you're a golf fan, there's something that's happened at Pebble that you've remembered, and let somebody else step into that history. Let somebody else be on the 17th tee. Let somebody else be putting for eagle on 18. You know, let somebody else be standing over that ominous shot on 8 into the, you know, into your approach shot. I mean, to me, it's going to happen really quickly. It's funny. I was just watching Michelle's interview before I came over here on Golf Channel. And you know what's really great about Michelle is she's the only person that can look to a Rosang, and all the Rosangs are going to follow her, and know what it feels like when everybody else is saying, you're the future of this game. Like, we need you to succeed. And I used to always say, we don't need people to succeed. We need people to just relax and play golf. But if a Rosang, and I've met 100 Rosangs before that came in with a rookie that we were sort of all counting on, and man, I hope she uses Michelle, because Michelle learned how to kind of get through that super hype and find real happiness in life, mm-hmm. then succeed on a golf course. And quite frankly, while she was doing it, was raising the tour. But I hope that she never felt like she had to. Rose doesn't feel like she has to. Women's golf is going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. Great golfers are coming from all over this world. This telecast will be in 190 countries. We don't need one player or two players to save women's golf. Women's golf has been on the rise for 15 years. So I think just sit back and enjoy the fact that the best women of the world are going to play this golf course very much like you watched the best men golfers in the world. And people say to me, Tim, is that going to be too hard for them? I'm like, are you kidding me? I've watched them play Oakmont. I've watched them play, you know, Marion and the Curtis Cup. Yeah. I haven't seen a golf course that's too hard for the best in the world. Are they going to have their challenges out there? Of course they're going to have their challenges. You look forward to that in a U.S.
Exactly.
Open. And we're going to give them that. You know, we're going to challenge every club in their bag and the one between their ears. But whoever raises that trophy here on Sunday night, they're going to know that they took on the best players in the world, the best elements in the world, and for the first time they can say probably the best golf course in the world. And if you're raising that trophy, you're going to feel pretty special.
Awesome. Mike, well, thank you so much for your time, and we can't wait for this week to get started.
Thank you.
Kira K. Dixon joins us. Happy 4th of July, Kira.
Hi, Allie. Happy 4th of July, America.
America. This is actually going on the 5th of July. But still, what a lovely week. We're celebrating
Celebrated
our country,
every day.
Celebrating women's golf. So, so exciting.
Very exciting.
You are no stranger to professional golf. How excited are you, though, to
As
see
an observer.
The... Yes.
Just in case anyone was confused.
You have a great game, though. We're going to talk a little about
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Hal.
But how exciting is it to see women play here at Pebble?
It's huge. I think it's such an important story. It's so important for the women's game, as you know, to go mm-hmm. to the world's best venues, because it elevates the women's game and the stage that they're on, the people that pay attention, everything. Mm-hmm. So I think it's one of the main storylines for the week at the U.S. Open.
Yeah. Does it feel, to me, it's like the energy these last couple of days, like it's giving Christmas Eve. Like the buzz. It's giving Christmas
Eve. We're not Gen Z, yeah. But we're trying so hard to be.
Isn't it though? Like, yeah. I just feel so excited.
I mean, it's a big deal. This has never been done before.
Never.
It's never happened. And to get to see the likes of Rosang and Michelle Wee out here taking on Pebble Beach, this is something that we probably never thought would happen. So it's a dream come true.
Yeah. So speaking of Michelle Wee, this is her podcast.
Hi, Michelle.
You just got to walk a couple holes with her.
Nine holes. Well, nine. But yeah, nine. Yeah.
What did it? What was her game like? How's she feeling?
She seems good. She's relaxed. Yeah. She's got her husband Johnny on the bag. She's dealing with all of us crazies walking around with her. I think she had fun. I hope so.
Yeah.
But you know, trying out different pin placements and weird rough spots.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she hits it a mile and. She's amazing. She's still Michelle Wee.
She's still Michelle.
Still got
Wee.
It, Michelle. You still got it.
I got to ask her later. I'm curious. I'm assuming it's like riding a bike, but you know, she hasn't played a tournament since the U.S. Women's Open last year at Pine Needles. And just going through the motions of like playing a practice round, it's like, oh, I guess I'll hit a few putts like, over there.
Oh, wait, she's doing that. Okay, maybe I should do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she told me yesterday that she was like, I haven't felt these feelings in a while, the nerves that you get when you show up to something like this that you're actually really taking seriously. Like, this isn't the member guest at whatever.
No. Which I love the fact that she does play. I think she played in a member guest with her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And she finished like second. And I was like, oh my God, Michelle, how do you, to be fair though, sometimes it's almost harder playing from the reds. You know, like,
well, she's
got to
completely adjust.
Right.
She's never had to think of the forward tees of her for her game. So yeah, completely. I mean, the fact that she was able to do that is a testament to her game.
Imagine like just being your, you know, your regular another female amateur rolling up to play in your member guest and like Michelle Wee.
Cool.
Senior
cool,
group.
Cool. I'm just gonna go.
Oh my God, insane. Let's talk a little bit more about Pebble though. You have been to Pebble quite a few times.
Been to Pebble.
You've played Pebble quite a few times in the AT&T. Tell me about that experience. How has that been?
Yeah, this was actually, it was so interesting to just walk. I haven't just walked Pebble in a really long time. Mm-hmm. This is, I think, my favorite place on the planet. It's so special. And I'm grateful for this week because I get to actually appreciate it. I think like those nerves that we were talking about, whenever I come and actually play in the tournament, it's so nerve-wracking. It's, you know, you want to do well. So it's nice to be here this week. I have a little bit of a reprieve from that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the most special place in the world. And I think that everybody watching, listening should put it on their bucket list and try and make it out.
Yeah, or at least turn it on TV. I mean, we were talking to Mike Wan earlier, and he was mentioning just the unprecedented TV coverage as well that we're going to have, which is so exciting.
Hours and hours and hours.
So many hours.
All the hours, I think, on NBC Golf,
on
Channel,
NBC Golf
and
Channel
and Peacock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So many of the channels, which is great. Last question for you before we let you go. Yeah, this is quick.
Wow.
In and out. I'm just settling in. We have a 4th of July party to get to.
That is true. We do. America.
I know you get a lot of DMs about...
You do get a lot of weird DMs. There's a lot going on in the DMs.
You get a lot of DMs. But in particular, you get a lot of DMs from... you get a lot of DMs of many kinds. But DMs of the kind that I'm referring to are the ones from young women asking about how to get into the golf industry. So maybe if you could just, in a nutshell, your best advice, ready, go.
To get into the golf industry.
Yes.
As like some stuff that we do.
Yes.
Okay. I think that there's so many different avenues. You don't have to do one thing or another. If you really want to go into broadcast, you could go local news and then maybe working for some sort of like the Golf Digest or you know, using your broadcast skills for that.
Heard of that.
And then you make your way up. Maybe you work for Golf Channel as a PA and then a producer and work your way through that way. Maybe you create your own content. Which you're no stranger to. You know, you can create anybody can create a video. Anyone can do content. Yeah. There's not somebody that has to give you approval to do that and to start that journey. You have the power to do it all yourself. And then relationships, as we both know, are everything. This is such a small, funky little world. Mm-hmm. And if you just start putting yourself in a position to meet one person and then another, you never know what door might open. Say yes as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Show up, learn. No one is entitled to anything in this. I always try to remember, like, you know, this is such a gift that we get to do this. Like, yeah. I'm sitting at Pebble Beach with one of my best friends talking about golf and, like, what is life?
Right?
So, exactly. Yeah, taking every single day with the appreciation and gratitude is really important in this crazy little journey. But there's just so many different ways to start.
So many different ways. That's great advice. Actually, your boss, actually, Matt Haggerty, who I had never read him before until a couple weeks ago. And he said, there's three things to succeed in TV. One is to know your stuff, be available, and be a pleasure to work with.
Yep.
Which I thought was like, that's so easy to remember.
Yeah.
And that's just,
that's
pretty good for anything. I think that's good advice for any
absolutely
industry.
But especially for TV and starting this world. Also, I would just recommend being a good writer. Just
that's
as an aside, I think that writing is so important to what we do on camera stuff, because as you're writing as you're speaking,
that has to happen really
quickly. So work on your writing.
Yeah. And in the interview that you're going to hear to round out this podcast, we had Kent Paisley, who's a contributor for Golf Digest, and the vocabulary on this man. I mean,
the
I was like, wow,
yeah.
I'm going to log that one down, because I'm like, I have the vocabulary of a high schooler compared to this man. So that's a really great tip.
Become a good writer.
And that'll
be a good base for you.
That'll get you a long
way. And send DMs.
Slide in the DMs. That's how I became friends with her. So,
Oh my gosh, isn't that wild?
Isn't that weird? Because of her.
Yeah.
Off camera. How funny. Small world. Okay. Last thing. I said the other thing was last question, but here's the last question.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you hope that people take away from watching the broadcast this week? We kind of asked Mike Wan this question as well. Like, people that if they're tuning in to this incredible, unprecedented amount of coverage, they're like, I'm more of a PGA Tour person, but let's see what the LPGA is about. Like, what do you hope that they see?
The broadcast is going to do a great job of telling these stories, and I hope that people really invest in the personal journeys of all of these incredible women
who are not just great golfers, but great people. And I hope that they become fans of theirs and show up more often, whether in the viewership or in the likes, in the comments, and continue elevating the women's game by supporting, by being a fan, and mm-hmm. just really feeling like you have a good understanding of who this person is what I hope people take away. Not just them as golfers, but as people, because they're incredible people that we know and love. And I'm really proud of all of that.
I know. All right. Well, signing off here, Kira, thank you so much. And
yay.
Go Michelle. We're so proud of you.
Go Michelle. And yeah. Michelle's last tourney.
No, I'm going to cry. So, Randy, tell us about yourself.
Yeah. Where do I start? Randy's not my name, actually.
Is it not?
No, it's Phil.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a nickname. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. But please call me Randy, of course. But yeah, we can uncover all kinds of secrets.
It
was an old college nickname, and when we were starting up NLU, I had a job at a school, and I just wanted to, like, separate the two in case, you know, and I was like, I'm just going to use an old college nickname. And so instead of just going with, you know, because I never thought it mattered for anything.
Right.
If I could go back, I would just use my real name. But
what does Solly and DJ, what do they
call they me? All call me Randy.
Okay, they call
yeah,
you
yeah,
Randy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or Big. Big's very popular
big,
now.
Big
just
Randy.
Big. Or no, just Big.
Just Big. Okay. Okay. Phil Landis joins us, a.k.a. Big, a.k.a. Randy, a.k.a. Big Randy, but mostly just
yeah.
Big.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say any of those. Just
any
pick
of those
one.
Will work.
Yeah.
Okay. All
yeah.
right. Great. Well, thanks so much for coming to hang out with us.
Of course.
And this beautiful scenery.
What a setting. I know.
Right?
The
I know. This
behind
is,
us.
This is like the most beautiful set we've ever had, and we've been to some pretty good places. Randy, you played with Michelle Wee West here a couple weeks ago. I watched the video.
Yeah.
It looked like a rough day out there, but
yeah.
Fun?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Was it your first time playing Pebble?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
First time seeing Pebble in person. It was wonderful. Michelle is an absolute delight, as you know, and we had a great time. The wind was, I don't know, 25, whipping to 35. I felt like it was borderline unfair, unplayable, but we struggled around. I think I shot 104 as a,
okay.
you know, I'm about an 8 handicap, so it was an awful day.
That's okay, though.
And I struggled to find much, like, fun I had in it, but we did complete 18 holes.
Okay, well, I still had fun watching it, so
well,
that's what you do it for, right? You
yes.
do it for the content.
Yes.
So, speaking of content, I mean, I know you get this every single day, but I love what you're doing. You guys crush
it's
it.
Very nice.
I mean, all the videos, all the social content. I mean, I know Chris Solomon's like the most hilarious guy ever on Twitter. I'm curious, though, I feel like you guys have really done a wonderful job, especially as of late, working with LPGA players, and you guys sponsor an LPGA player. And maybe that wasn't the case, like, from, like, the OG No Laying Up days. It was pretty much focused on the PGA Tour. Can you talk a little about, like, was there a conscious decision made of you guys just like, hey, we should do more LPGA stuff? Like, how did that come about? Because it's really wonderful.
Well, thank you. I would love to talk about it. I think it's a story of my own evolution and growing fandom and appreciation of women's golf. I can remember growing up, I would maybe watch a couple rounds of like a US Open final round if it's on, I don't know, NBC or pick your channel. Mm-hmm. And that was about the extent of it. I mean, I knew enough to know Annika and Kari Webb and Julie Inkster, and I'm trying to think of the big names when I was kind of first getting into golf. And that was kind of, honestly, that was the extent of it. And as we started growing No Laying Up and we got more opportunities, some of what came along was getting to go to LPGA events. And I mean, just truthfully, since the first event we've gone to and the first pro-am, and it has always been such a welcoming feeling going to LPGA events. And I juxtapose that a little bit against some of our experiences with the PGA Tour, only in the sense of, like, the joke I make is whenever we wanted to do something with the PGA Tour, it was always like, well, they're going to tell us no like 3 times, and then maybe we can settle on something that's like a compromise. And with the LPGA Tour, it was always like, hey, we'd love to do this. And it was like, yes, how can we help you? How can we make your life easier? And so from our position as, like, you know, trying to do content and whatnot, it was just so nice. And the more events you go to, you get to meet the players, you get to meet the people around the game. And I don't know, you can't help but feel this sense of like, they're just really happy that you're out there and you're helping to shine a light on everything that they do and the world-class golf that's being played on that tour. And so I have just become a fan of the LPGA Tour in women's golf. And I think through that, it's natural then with NLU to be like, why aren't we, you know, we're doing all this stuff on the men's side. Like, there's no reason we shouldn't be doing it on the women's side. And so really formally, last year and kind of this off season, if you will, it was a conscious decision to, hey, we need to increase what we're doing on the women's side of the game. And part of that has been getting out to majors, doing live shows at the end of major championship rounds, doing more podcast episodes, because it's a great product. And I think whether you go in person, it's a wonderful viewing experience. You can get so much closer than I feel like at a lot of PGA events. You can get up on the ropes. The players are approachable. If you have young kids, it's like it couldn't be a better environment for young kids. And the personalities are great. I mean, they're funny. They're sarcastic. They're self-deprecating. It's just a wonderful kind of tour to get to learn and be a part of. So it's been a pure joy from my perspective, and I think like our company perspective, it's just a no-brainer. It's like we should be doing it and we enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely ripe for content. I think it's cool that you guys, I mean, people are responding to it as well, and you guys have such a dedicated fan base. I mean, the amount of no laying up merch that I see, and then when people see you guys on the golf course just screaming your names, and so I think it's cool. I mean, when you guys say something matters, I think your fans actually listen, so it's really cool that you take that voice seriously.
That's very nice of you to say. I think for us, in anything we do, we try to be authentic to, like, stuff that we're interested in, and hopefully people can sense that passion for myself, from others, you know, that are with No Laying Up, because I do think it's wonderful. There's no bigger thrill than I've gotten as people will send me a message like, hey, I just went out to my first LPGA event. It was freaking awesome. Like, you know, thank you for turning me on to women. And I'm like, yeah, man, like, it's great. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm not sitting here like, oh, you're well, you know.
No, but I think it is. I mean, it's
but
great.
The more people we can turn on and in person and start to watch on TV, I truly hope and believe it will hopefully create a little snowball effect. And I mean, there's no reason women's golf shouldn't be just as popular as men's golf. For me, it's much more relatable game.
Yeah.
I, you know, playing with Michelle, we're hitting at the same yardages. Like, it's my game, just like world class, which is, you know, at least allows me to dream that one day I could do that. Where the men's game, it's like, it's an entirely different sport. Like, right. I'm not hitting at 340 with unbelievable spin rates.
Right. Yeah, so exactly.
I try to tell people that as well. It's like, you want to watch people, like, how you play golf? Like, just watch the women is like how you should be playing.
Yeah, for sure. So we're sitting here at Pebble Beach. You played Pebble with Michelle. We're seeing this, I guess, elevation of women's venues. From your point of view, as a fan, as No Laying Up, being a media outlet, how important is seeing the women compete on the same stages as the men to getting people to sort of like say, oh, PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, these are both really great to watch?
Yeah, I think it's critical. I think it's absolutely critical. I think the courses, honestly, are probably paramount to start that process. You know, a venue like Pebble, everybody, all golf fans know, whether the Pebble Beach Pro-Am or the U.S. Opens that have been held here, it's nice to have the courses where people have reference points to, you know, oh, so-and-so hit this shot in 1994, and getting the women, getting to watch then the women compete on the same course, create their own history, but we can compare it to stuff we've seen. Like, it helps frame how good they really are, because we know how difficult a place like Pebble Beach is, right? Because we've seen the men play it. So I think the courses are paramount. The broadcast is trying to catch up. I think that's also paramount. But yeah, it's been so good from the USGA to really make an effort to get to these courses that golf fans know and where, you know, national championships should be played.
Yeah. And we had, obviously, the USGA, where they're going to be at Riviera, Erin Hills, mm-hmm. all these incredible places. And you know, also the broadcast is going to be prime time this weekend, which is so exciting. Is there anything else that you that you can point to that you're like, man, like women's golf just needs this also would be great?
Yes. In my opinion, we still have a little ways to go with the broadcast. Like this week is great. And again, credit to the USGA. They are making an effort. 6 hours Saturday and Sunday in primetime is phenomenal. And they have feature group coverage streaming, which I think is important because that's, you know, when golf fans tune into majors, they're used to getting those options to watch it. Mm-hmm. And so I think having that on the women's side is very important. I think the other thing that the USGA is doing this week for the first time is we're going to have the shot link data.
Yeah, we talked about that. So cool.
Huge. So cool and also so important. I mean, as people that try to talk about golf, not having the same set of statistics that you have on the men's, it just is like, it's a very basic analogy, but like imagine watching a basketball game and not, maybe you get like, how many points Steph Curry scores in total, but you have no idea his shot percentage or what he went from the three-point line or how many turnovers he had. I feel like a little bit that's how we consume women's golf week to week right now, in that we, you know, they have like driving distance and, you know, greens and regulation and total putts per round. But you flip over to the men's side and it's like you have this full shots gained repertoire of just the most intricate stats that you can break down. You can say, you know, this player struggles from 90 yards and in, and this player is an exceptional putter, and this player gets off the tee well. And you just don't have that granular detail on the women's side yet. Mm-hmm. And I think that would go a long way, again, to helping golf fans understand the talent level and how good these women are.
Right. And not only like when the fans are trying to maybe look that information up themselves, but just for the broadcasters add.
Exactly.
Like you're like, this person's good with a good putter. It's like, yeah, they're all good putters, but like what?
Right.
From what distances?
It's all in the margins, right?
Yeah.
It's all relative. And so that's the big drum that not only myself, I have to credit Beth Ann Nichols and Karen Stupples and some of the OGs of the women's game have certainly educated me, but having someday it's going to be week to week on the tour, not only at majors like this, where we'll have those build out stats. And I think that's going to help elevate the women's game because it'd be so fun, you know, where you could compare, you know, from 120 yards in, granted the courses are a little different, but 120 yard wedge is 120 yard wedge by and large. You could compare like Lydia Ko to Jordan Spieth, right? And we just don't have that ability yet. Mm-hmm. And I think that will be really important for women's golf.
Yeah, it's coming for sure. Yeah. All right, last question. Who do you like this week?
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to figure that out myself. This is one of the unique places where
we don't have much to like go off of.
Exactly. Not a lot of course knowledge for players. I think the trendy pick is Rose Zhang. She shot a 63 here in college. She's obviously playing very well. I hate to just pick the favorite, so I'm going to go in a different direction. Don't hold me to this, but I kind of like a lot of stuff's just lining up for Yuka Sasso.
Okay, I like
she came on strong at the KPMG a couple weeks ago. She won here in Northern California at Olympic Club in San Francisco, U.S. Open, a couple years ago. I don't know. Give me
like
Yuka Sasso.
I like Yuka. Awesome.
We'll see.
Right. Okay, Randy. Well, thank you so much. It was
so
fun.
Yeah, of course.
I'm so pumped.
I know.
For the U.S. Women's Open.
I've been waiting for this week forever. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, of course. Have a great week.
Okay, there is no better person to round out this podcast than with Golf Digest contributor Kent Paisley. Kent, thanks for hiking up from the media center to the hay to hang out for a little bit.
I'm floored you would think that, and if only the shuttle was around, you know?
I appreciate the dedication. You know, this place is like it's like oddly hilly. You can't tell from TV, but it's a little hilly here.
Sometimes. TV hides a lot of stuff.
It does. It definitely does. So I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the storylines this week. What should people at home, fans here, everybody, who should we be keeping an eye on this week?
I think it probably starts with Rose Zhang, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She shows up, wins her first professional tournament. Saying anything happening for the first time in 72 years is really hard to process that time period, right? And she backed it up with a strong performance at KPMG, following up with the fact that she holds Pebble's women's course record, a 63 that she shot last September, the Carmel Cup.
Wow.
Yeah, 63 at Pebblekin. Can we do that?
Yeah.
That would be great.
That would be.
You know?
You know what's so amazing to me is, and Michelle and I actually, if you guys haven't listened to the episode we had Rose Zhang on, I think it was one or two episodes ago, producer Chris? We had Rose on two episodes ago. And tell me if you agree with this or not, but like, I am just so amazed by her composure. I mean, she's played in US Women's Opens, like she's been on really big stages, but especially the composure that she showed in that playoff when she won the LPGA event, Michelle's LPGA event, by the way. But it was just that paired with the fact I asked her, because she always seems to be so just, you know, focused on herself and, you know, I'm just gonna do my best, no expectations, hope I make the cut. But then I said, would you consider yourself competitive? And she's like, yes, I'm super, super competitive. So just her mindset, I'm just amazed by.
I think there's an aura of calmness we see from the top players on the LPGA. Everyone has a mechanically sound swing, but can you hold it together? And to your point about the composure she had at Mizuho, she didn't make a birdie in 20 holes, and she still won. That's someone winning without their best. That's a really good sign for the future. And she almost came from well behind at KPMG with a strong closing final round. So it's there. Now just following the story to see what Rose does next.
Yeah, I know. Rose Zhang. Okay, so definitely keep an eye on Rose. I want to ask you about Nelly Korda because she didn't have her best stuff at Baltusrol. So what do you think we can expect from her here at Pebble?
Yeah, 76, 77. You would almost more expect a 67 from her. And it's kind of a problem with the LPGA schedule, if you will, to have back-to-back majors. Yes, there's a week off, but you don't really get a reprieve from the pressure of a major championship. She worked with her coaches, her dad, but when you're missing that much, Pebble has such small greens. Baltusrol has really big green complexes. Mm-hmm. It will be a testament to her ability to turn it around here just from the disappointing performance. But if you closed your eyes, you had blinders to everything else Nelly has done, I think she profiles as one of the most likely people to win out here because of her length, which this course is going to demand with the fog, the coldness, and who knows what's going to happen as the wind conveniently blows. While I talk about the wind,
yeah.
I love it.
Cue wind.
add weatherman to my title, but you know, and she is a good putter under pressure. She is a major champion. She's won so many times. So it's what side of Nelly is going to come out.
Yeah.
Tough to know.
We'll see. Well, it's funny. I actually had a chance to talk with her on Monday, and this podcast will come out on Wednesday, which is the day that Nelly will be added into PGA Tour 2K23. So you can now play that video game as Nelly, as Lydia Ko, and as Brooke Henderson, and I believe Lexi Thompson as well, which is really cool. And I got to ask her about that, and she says she's actually a gamer. She said when she played in the Olympics, because you couldn't do anything because of COVID, all she would do would be go home and play Call of Duty. So she said she's so excited to be in this game because her and her brother enjoy playing together, and now Sebastian is going to be really jealous of her.
I can't picture Nelly, to be fair. I don't know Nelly super well. I can't picture her as, like, talking about builds and Call of Duty, you know?
No, she said that. She's like, yeah, what did she say her name was? I was like, well, what's your username? She's like, it's Nellyville. And I was you're kind of just hiding in plain sight. You're just hiding in plain sight. These, you know, probably 14-year-old boys who are obsessed with Nelly Korda are playing against Nelly Korda, and they don't even know.
But it does fit the bill, because she talked about her first experience with Pebble was playing it on a Tiger Woods PGA game back in the day, like playing hole 7 over and over and over. That's pretty sick to have that
time. Let's talk about Michelle Wee West, my co-host.
We would talk about her on our own podcast.
Yeah, we would.
We got to say all the bad things. She's not here.
She's out there prepping. But can you just talk about, as someone that's covered the game for a long time, just what Michelle means to women's golf?
Beyond winning the U.S. Women's Open, being a major champion, I think Michelle has so consistently advocated for more. And I think in a sport where women's golf doesn't get the coverage it deserves, you need advocates like Michelle, who's done such a good job building up not only her brand, but her capability. She really talks consistently about learning more about the business, trying to learn everything. And you see that come through at Mizuho this year. I mean, that was such a well-run event. To most impressively to me, the amenities that she was able to get for the field. It's really expensive to play on the LPGA Tour. for a casual fan, I think hearing that it costs $100,000 to play out here a year would be mind-boggling. So to save players' hotel charges in one of the most expensive markets in America, she gets it.
Yeah.
And I think it's very possible that her post-playing career has more impact on the LPGA than her playing career.
Which would be hard to say, but I agree. I think Michelle just... What I love about her is she could just, you know, sail off tonight, and she's got a lovely family, and she's, you know, doing fine financially. She could just do her thing, but she is so invested in this game and the women's game in particular. I just think it's really just sets an incredible example to these other up-and-coming women like Rosang, like Nelly Korda. Like, hey, when you decide to step away from the game, see what else you can do for it, because it's given you so much as well.
It makes
really
sense.
Cool.
She's a sounding board for Molly Marcuse, on the tour commissioner.
Yes. Yes, it does. Exactly. Okay. So who else should we keep an eye on? I know we talked about Nelly. We talked about Rose. Let's talk about Jin Young Ko. What do we think about her game right now?
It's so strange to talk about her after she just surpassed Lorena Ochoa as the player with the most weeks as the world number one in Rolex world ranking history. Obviously, there's an asterisk that came about after Annika's reign and other LPGA greats, but she's hit more greens in regulation than anyone in the history of women's golf with playing more than 30 rounds. So, you know, like, that's what's required to succeed at Pebble Beach. She's openly talked about wanting to win the career Grand Slam, winning 5 majors out of here. She's got 2. Her last one was in 2019. It wouldn't surprise me if she knocked off number 3, because she's been here since last Monday.
Wow.
She's going for it. Her coach flew out from South Korea. He comes out to 1 or 2 events a year. That's it. If you're talking about pushing all your chips to the table for one event, it's her. And she's found a lot of success recently at U.S. Women's Open. She's got 3 top tens in a row here. It really would not surprise me if she's the one winning at the end of the week.
Okay, last question for you, Kent. Then we'll let you go, because I know you got a lot of work. What have the players been saying about Pebble Beach, given that this is the first time that a lot of them have seen it? Maybe they've played in the last couple months coming out to prepare, but what are the players saying, one, about the course, and then, two, just about the opportunity to be here in general?
That the course is terrible. No. obviously, everyone's soaking in the opportunity and understanding what this means. I think there's a reverence that's consistent throughout every press conference and everyone you talk to about. You can imagine some of the marquee shots that have been hit out here, and for an opportunity to weave their own fabric into the lore of this course, I think everyone is chomping at the bit for that opportunity, as well as intrigued to see how this plays. I mean, this is a level of responsibility for the USGA to set this course up right, to have the players showcase their skill sets to a national audience that may not have seen them before. We're talking about being in prime time, which everyone's probably blasted out at some point, one or another, and 6 hours each day on the weekend. This is unprecedented territory for the LPGA. So if there are questions, it's, does the course allow the players to showcase their skill sets? When the USGA talks about, you know, having the same clubs in as the men do, well, women do hit it a little bit of a lower trajectory with similar clubs. That could present some challenges. I think that's going to be really intriguing, and thoughts that players have had about how the course is going to play this week.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for Thursday. Kent, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, I stick by me telling Kira Dixon that the early week vibes are giving Christmas Eve. I am so excited to have spoken to so many cool people. We had Kira on, who I get to cover this event with. Randy, who, I mean, I know he's super humble about it, but I really do feel like No Laying Up is such a force in the sport. And for people that are hardcore PGA Tour fans, for them to see an outlet that they really respect cover the women's game is so huge. And I'm really, really excited about their commitment to covering women's golf, and to have them here at Pebble Beach is really neat. And then we had the Mike Wan on, which was cool, and to hear about the junior program, the developmental program that they're developing to get more American stars out on the LPGA Tour. That was super, super cool to hear about. And like you said, it might not be tomorrow, but in the next 50 years, they will be coming. And then last but not least, of course, Kent, who is just a walking encyclopedia when it comes to golf. I mean, dictionary, thesaurus, encyclopedia, all of the above. I mean, what a knowledgeable guy, and just the perfect man to round out our group there to give us some insight into who we should be watching this week. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope that this episode has made you as excited about the U.S. Women's Open as it has made me. And look forward to chatting with you all on social. Make sure you're following Golf Mostly on Instagram and TikTok at Golf Mostly. I'm at Hallie Led, and Michelle is at Michelle Wee West. And we will all be cheering for you, Michelle. We're so excited and so proud of everything that you're doing on and off the golf course. Good luck this week.